we're going to start now. We're going to start to work on now. Sensitive topic. It's a sensitive topic, and we should know where in halacha, where does this fit into halacha? Because really, it's a relatively new subject in halacha, although it has very ancient sources that will help us understand the inyan. But as a phenomena, it's really much more of this past century. It's the subject of adoption in halacha. The questions that have to do with adoption. We're going to cover the following topics, Mitzvah, over the next three shiurim. The first is that is adoption something which is seen by halacha as a preferable method of having a child, taking care of a child, raising a child, and so on. How does halacha view the institution of imutz yiladim, of adoption? Number one. Number two, is it possible to be mekayim the mitzvah of puravu through adopting a child? Can one fulfill the mitzvah of having children by adopting a child? Number three, is it preferable if one is going to adopt, assuming that the answer to the above is that the first question is that it's an acceptable form of behavior in halacha, then the question is it preferable to adopt a child that's not Jewish and convert the child, or to try to adopt a child that has a Jewish mother, a Jewish baby? That's another question. Then the question, of course, is what about the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, the obligations, midaraisa, midrabban, from the Torah, from the Chachamim, in a situation where you have an adoptive set of parents? What are the obligations of the adopted child vis-a-vis the parents and all the halachas of kibud av va'em, of honoring parents, and so on? Then we have the question of physical contact and yichud. That means being alone in the room with an adopted child. It's not your biological child. Being alone in the room, that would be normal under normal circumstances. Would be where it would be a prohibition of yichud. Does that apply to an adopted child? What about hugging and kissing and so on? The halachas of physical contact. Then the question is, does halacha accept, permit the adopting parents to conceal the truth of the child's background from the child, to keep that a secret that the child should know? Because a baby was adopted, as a baby, as an infant, are the adopting parents obligated to reveal that information, who the parents are? And if the child says, if the child is told that he or she was adopted, does the child have the right to demand to know if the parents are alive? I want to meet my parents, I want to know who they are, I want to contact them. And the adopting parents say that would be very bad for you, there are problems, and so on. So what does halacha say about that? And then finally, the question of the financial achrayus, the financial responsibility for adopting a child. Does it follow the same guidelines as the responsibilities of parents, the parents have to supporting the child, and the differences that are between a boy and a girl, and when they're married and single, and so on?
Sounds like more than 2 weeks.
Sure. Sounds like more, huh? Sounds like it. I know.
Good topic for one night.
Yeah. So these are a couple of things that we're going to talk about. Maybe it'll be four times, but a couple of things that we're going to talk about. And I was asked by some of the people that are working in this area to please discuss some of these in Yonah, that they feel that they're missing a little bit and some clarity in the halachic guidelines. So. But regardless of whether we're holding by doing it or not holding by doing it, it's a very important subject in halacha, and it's very much nagaya to our society. And why all children should be healthy and have healthy parents, and we shouldn't need it. But we know that that's not always the case. We have in school a maysa that there's the mother has severe mental problems with the mother, and the father abandoned two boys. He left them. Gone. He's gone. He's not taking any financial responsibility. There are no relatives in America that would take responsibility. And these are two boys that were just dropped. Just dropped. Basically onto us. But two boys were just abandoned, really. Two teenage boys. It's okay. Foster care, adoption, and so on. These are big shilas. Very big shilas. Let me first, before we even start with the subject of adoption and these topics that I'm pretty much going to follow the order that I just outlined, we're going to follow that order. Let me begin by with a very important hakdama, that yichus is not a simple matter. You know, I'm not talking now about whether you want to get a miyuchas from a rebbe or you want to get a yichas from a rosh hashiva. Yichas meaning the complications that you, I'm sure you're all familiar with it. And now, for instance, in Eretz Yisrael, there are frightening things that are happening with non-Jews that are mixing into the general population. When I was in Eretz Yisrael last year, there was a kinnus of rabbanim that actually I wasn't invited to. It was a rabbanim from Eretz Yisrael, from all the different cities were there. All the rabbanim harashim of all the different cities in Shtetlach and Eretz Yisrael came, and it happened. And I was there. I was visiting my daughter, and I happened to be staying at that place at the hotel. And I was talking to the Rav of Netanya, the Rav, and I forgot his name, Choshev Yid, the Rav of Netanya, and he was telling me that this was the subject of this conference. The subject of the conference was the theme of the conference was what to do about the non-Jews that are mixing into the Jewish population, and that they estimated that there's somewhere between 500,000 and 750,000 that they might talk like Jews, they might look like Jews, and they ain't Jewish. And you understand what's going on with marriages. I mean, it's scary to even talk about, to think about it. So the Jewish people are very, very carefully, have kept careful track of yichas. Yichas, I'm not talking about the way we use yichas in Yiddish. I mean yichas in halacha, which, to know, who's the parents? Who are the parents? And it's very important to know. And we'll see why. When we learn these halachas, why it's very important, it's a very important thing. And the Chachamim are very careful throughout all the generations to preserve Taharis Yisrael, that the Jewish people should be, I know it sounds disgusting, but should be racially pure. Meaning that we should be racially pure, we accept Geirim, of course. That's why we're not talking about any type of ethnic cleansing. So we accept Geirim. But there should be a careful record of who are the parents of this child, who is the mother, who is the father, and since halacha determines the religion of the child biologically by the mother, so and not as it was in many ancient civilizations where records were kept based upon the finances of the of families, but it's completely biological. Therefore, it was always crucial, and it remains crucial, to see to it that Taharis Yisrael, that the purity of the Jewish people be preserved. And it's in great danger nowadays, in great, great danger, the purity of the Jewish people. This fear could explain. A paragraph that I'm going to read to you from one of the poskim of our generation, Rav Moshe Sternbuch, the author of Tshuvas van Hoggis. The Gemara that this is all based upon is a Gemara that's found in Megillah Adaf Yud Gimel. You don't have this in front of you now. The Gemara that's found in Megillah Adaf Yud Gimel and is found in Sanhedrin Adaf Yud Tes. And the Gemara there tells us that Hamagadol Yosam Besoich Beisai, that if you raise an orphan in your home, then it's ma'ala olav akosav ki'ilu yolda. Then the Torah considers it as if you gave birth to that child. If you raise a yosim in the house, an orphan in your house, you take care of a child and raise the child, then it's considered ki'ilu yolda. Now that's a loaded sentence, ki'ilu yolda, as we're going to see in a minute, that that's not such a simple sentence. That's the Gemara in Megillah and the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So if Sternbuch writes here regarding the subject of imus yolda, there's in the second chalik of Tshuvas on Haggis, Simon Tuf Reish Ayin Zayin. Now Sternbuch writes over here, Imutz Yelodim Kfiyam Akubal Hayoyim Uchikui La'akum Shenahagu Kain. That the present day method of adopting children is simply an imitation of the behavior of non-Jews. Uladidon by Jews, Ha'ikir L'gadol Yelad B'Seich Beisai. Jews always took care of children. We always took care. There was never a Jew that was left in the streets. But we took care of the child, Rav Sternbuch explains, as a child that was in need, not adopting, meaning and to spend whatever was necessary and with mesivas nefesh to take care of the child, as if it was your own child. Jews always did this, as if it was their own child. Not like the institution of adoption, which is found by the goyim. Hamishtadlum legadla yelich lo yeda klal meheimitz, who in many cases are trying to are adopting the child and trying to raise the child so that the child should think that he is the actual child of these two people and not that he was brought into the home and that he was being taken care of. Because these people have a need to have a child. They want to have a child. They're wonderful, special, good people, whoever takes care of course. But they want to be able to consider themselves to be the parents of the child. And therefore they will conceal this information of the child's background. And he says, when this is done, many terrible things can result from this. There can be problems of a brother marrying a sister. Right, we don't know the child is really. It could be from someone. I mean, we're going to go into the details later when we learn about Moshe's tshuva. There could be marriages that are forbidden taking place because the child thinks that he's from this family, he's really from that family. Especially when it's in a smaller community, things could happen. Chibuk v'nishuk, v'yichud, the questions that we're going to be discussing regarding physical contact when it might be forbidden, and so on. Avol derech ha'tayrihi, and what is the way of Judaism of Yiddishkeit? To raise the child who needs that help in your house as if he's your own child. And to be good to him like your own child. And Chazal, as I just read to you from the Gemara, have praised very much the person who raises an orphan. And considers that person as if he's given birth to the child. Kedisa b'Sanhedrin and Megillah. Uba Medrash Shmois says in the Medrash Shmois a Megadol Nikra Av that he doesn't claim to be the father, but we admire him and look up to him as if he's the father, and so on. So this is the shortest and clearest expression of a concern that all the poskim have. Rav Shtenberg is not alone in this. All the poskim who dealt with the questions that came up really more in the 20th century before any of our parents or grandparents. Wherever they came from, great-grandparents, if you're a real, Yankee, wherever they came from, in those towns, whether it be in Russia, whether it be in Hungary, whether it be in Galicia, whether it be in Lita, whether it be in Iran or Iraq or Morocco, they were always taking care of Jewish children who were never orphans. Always. But it was always to be Magadli Yosem, and always you take care of the child, and you tell them, your parents were these were your parents, and you will take care of you, and they would accept the responsibility. But the idea of adopting, which means that to adopt sort of a new identity as somebody in the adopting family, that's a relatively recent phenomenon in our history. And the poskim all share this attitude of Rav Shtenberg that this is not, adopting as it's seen in modern times is not a Jewish institution.
What year was
this? This tshuva was written maybe 7 years ago.
7 years. Yeah, adoption really, the way we're terming it in America, adoption is illegal. Issues so much as responsibility and
right.
Financial issues.
Right. Right. As far, there's no problem accepting legal responsibilities and whatever the chiyuvim of America would be, or the regarding foster care or adoption. The poskim wouldn't have a problem with that. And he discusses cases of the he discusses government regulations in these few tshuvas here. He does discuss government regulations. The non-Jewish part here is concealing the identity of the family, which until
it would also be someone who's childless who goes and seeks out a child.
Right,
that's
right.
Also not a difference.
Right.
From taking
so
someone.
The question of what's being done for it. If it's being done for their own personal need, or if it's being done for the child's need.
Right. That was the idea of seeking a child historically when there was a child that needed a home. So the community came to the rescue. The idea, it was never seen as a way, there was never, like Ellie says, there was never that there was a means of replacing the biological child or substituting for people who never were not able to have children. That was not done. It simply was not done. It was not an acceptable, not only by Jews, it wasn't B'chlal practice. I don't believe that it was practice.
And at the end of the war, people took in children.
Yeah.
But that was for the benefit of the child.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't because people were looking for a substitute
right,
for a child they never had.
Right. Which again, I'm not criticizing anybody, God forbid, that hasn't had children that wants that. That's not my point, Chas v'Chalila. That's a tremendous need that people have, and I'm not in any way looking down upon it. But I'm just, purely from a halakhic point of view, there was never such a mitzias in Klal Yisrael that people were looking, let's say, for non-Jewish children. Even though there were plenty of non-Jewish children that were abandoned, as you know, in the old days, they were left here and they were left there. My father remembers in his city there wasn't a month where there wasn't a baby left somewhere. It was kiddu, especially as you got closer to the convent and to the religious part of town. There were babies left all over the place, but it was never that Jews were seeking to bring in children from outside. And this has to do with Taharis Yisrael, with the holiness of the Jewish people, and the purity of Klal Yisrael as a people. That this was never sought. This is a modern phenomenon. Seeking children because the parents are childless, or they have children, they want more children, whatever it might be. Again, I'm not judging that. Chas v'chalila. I'm just saying it's a new phenomenon. And the question is, how does halacha deal with that? It's not part of traditional Jewish behavior.
Wouldn't there be a change now because of the fact that the Jewish people are dispersed, and up until the relatively recent period of time, there was never a question of taking a child from outside the community. They would have killed us to bring in if you brought a Goyish child into Jewish homes.
No, not necessarily. There were babies that were regularly abandoned. There were non-Jewish children. Interestingly enough, there were non-Jewish children that were raised in Jewish homes, and the Jews told them, "You're not Jewish." You know, they were raised as non-Jews. They didn't walk with them to church or anything, but they never told them that they're Jewish. They spoke fluent Yiddish. This was not something that was unheard of. You had this in every town, that there were babies that were abandoned, and Jews took in abandoned babies because they were left, and the church didn't want them.
My grandmother, Oliver Shaw, took in a child.
Really? Okay, there were mice like that. There's mice from the Baal Shem. There's a whole famous story of the Baal Shem HaKadosh with the mice with a baby like that. That we had all kinds of nisim and the flows that happened with children, with many of those children, that they turned out to be, they turned out to save Yidden. They turned out to be in positions where they were able to save Yidden. The Baal Shem Tov knew of many of these children, that Jews did them a toiv and raised them, and they were in positions of authority, and the Baal Shem Tov would send people to go to them, that they'll help you out.
In the war, with my father told stories that this child that was raised in my grandmother's home did manage to save Jews.
You see? It's an amazing thing. This was not something that was uncommon. It was not uncommon. But it was never such a havamina. I found this little non-Jewish baby. I'm gonna put him in the mikveh. And he says, he's a Yid. And I'll tell him he's a Yid. We didn't have such a thing. It was no such thing. He says, you're not Jewish, and we'll take care of you. We'll feed you. This and that. We'll treat you beautifully. But, you don't go to cheder. You don't go to cheder. You don't go to yeshiva. So, again, not by judging or criticizing him. Just to state the facts. These are the facts. These are the facts of Jewish history. Nevertheless, that things have changed. You're certainly right, Rabbi Uncle, about how things have changed. In the modern times, the demographics are different. The belief that medicine is going to somehow be able to. The disappointment that comes when it's discovered that medicine, with all of the great progress in medicine, is still in Hashem's hand, who has a baby, right? And the disappointment that people have when they can't have a child. I have somebody now in my family. They're not shomer mitzvahs. They're traditional. Somebody in my family that just now, last week, my father just called me to tell me that they adopted a baby. The concerns that I have, the baby's not from a Jewish mother, and these relatives of mine are not shomer Shabbos, and I think it's understood that there are many problems with converting a child and raising a child in a non-Orthodox lifestyle, and the question of the validity of that conversion, and so on and so forth. These are major shilas that are endangering the sanctity of the Jewish people. And because of what you're saying, they were not living in a small village. It used to be that you knew, oh yeah, you're Davidovich from Siget. Davidovich from Siget, the family's living there for 300 years. And everybody knows that family. Yeah, what are they? They're barbers. This one's a tailor. And everybody knows that, they pretty much knew who you were. Now nobody knows anybody. Everybody is running around, going here, there. And, we've had in our school over the years many instances where we found out that a child wasn't Jewish. How it came to us and what happened? The child was Jewish. The child went through maybe 6, 7, 8 years of yeshiva, and it was assumed that the child was Jewish. And then for some reason we found out the child mentioned, "Oh yeah, my mother's this," and she told me the other night that we had a conversation that she was converted by a Reform rabbi. They slipped through. There's going to come a point where we're going to have to register. there's already talk of this in Eretz Yisrael, very strong talk about this, that to register with our families, and that when you want to go for shidduch, when there's a shidduch made between children, that you could check into a registry to see who is this, who is the child, where, from who, what, where does the child come from. I mean, it sounds very unappealing to for many people to hear such a thing, that we're going to have these registers, but to marry Jews with Jews is going to, it's coming to a point where we're going to have to check and we're going to have to all register our children, our grandchildren are going to be registered. How the Vayim Mashiach should come and clear up all of these inyanim. But there are many, many, especially in Eretz Yisrael, there are thousands upon thousands who are not Jews, who are living or posing as Jews and give the impression that they're Jews and so on. So this is the attitude. We're beginning with a problem. The problem is this is the institution as it's been revealed in modern times of adoption is not Jewish. Nevertheless, this is the Metzias, and Halacha, as always, must contend with what's going on. So the question is, how does Halacha contend with the Metzias that we now have, that people are adopting children, not just raising them, but they're adopting children? So the first question that we're going to... So the answer to the first question is, it's something which is accepted up Halacha. The answer is not in its complete modern manifestation. Nevertheless, certainly raising a child, taking care of a child as your own child, certainly is. Not only is it acceptable, but it's a very admirable Jewish concept that's been practiced from the beginning of our people. Now, the question of whether or not one can be mekayim the mitzvah of puruvu, can you fulfill the mitzvah, people who are not, who are childless, who cannot have children, are they able to fulfill the mitzvah of puruvu, by being fruitful and multiplying, the first mitzvah of Torah, are they able to fulfill the mitzvah by adopting a child? This is, so it sounds like a, why should they be? So it's not so pashut. There's a Chochmah Shleimah that's found in the first siman of Evan Ha'ezer. Chochmah Shleimah is written by the Maharshak, Reb Shleimah LeKluge, one of the biggest poskim. Reb Shleimah LeKluge has it in the Chochmah Shleimah, the beginning of Evan Ha'ezer. So I'm sure that you don't have that in front of you. That's, we're going to get to that a little bit later. Maybe not even yet. So he writes here, V'hinei nistapakti, again, only little marmakomis I'm going to read to you, otherwise there'll be photostats. V'hinei nistapakti, v'misha gidl yosem v'yosayim v'sech besa im nechshav zekiyim puravu. So the Maharshak has at the very beginning of Evan Hazard this shaila. If a person is megadla yosem, if somebody raises an orphan in his home, can it be considered that the individual, by doing so, has fulfilled the mitzvah of having children? Dorma Chazal, why would I think that it could fulfill the mitzvah? Because the Gemara says, "Amagal Yosem Yisayim Besech Beisa Mala Olav Akosav Ki'ilu Yoldo." That's the Gemara in Megillah and in Sanhedrin. That the Gemara says that if you raise a child in your home, an orphan in your home, doesn't mean Dafkin orphan, but someone, a child who can't be taken care of. You raise a child in the house, so the Gemara says it's considered as if you gave birth to the child. So now the Maharshak says, so what does that mean, as if you gave birth? What is that, as if? Does that really mean, giving birth, or is it a nice term? So he says that it's really totally the machlokes between the Drish and the Taz. Listen. The question is, what does it mean, ki'ilu yoldo? As if you gave birth. So he says, v'hataz... He brings here out, I'm sorry. He says, "Nira, l'chayr nira, dezer toli beplutis hadrisha imataz beyerdeis simenreishem and beis." He says, "It seems that this question is depending upon the machlokes between the taz and the drisha in reishem and beis and yerdeya. What's the machlokes? The daz hadrisha, the kol mokem, the nema ki'ilu ein hamukis shove al misha makishla." According to the Drisha, wherever it says in Shas, this lashon of ki'ilu, it doesn't mean mamish. It's a melitza. What does it mean, a melitza? In other words, that you get points like that. If you raise a yosem in your house, if you raise an orphan in the house, ki'ilu yoldo means that you get a lot of good points, it's very beautiful, and so on and so forth. Schar, you're rewarded. But that it should be considered mamish, your child, that it should be considered your child. So the Drisha learns that wherever it says ki'ilu, it doesn't mean mamish. It doesn't mean mamish. Vataz choylik, the Taz disagrees. Vataz choylik, the hushava mamish. No less an authority than the Taz says that when we find in Shas the word ki'ilu, now they're not talking, the Drisha and the Taz are not talking about this Gemara. They're talking about something else where it uses the same term of ki'ilu. Right, we're still not ke'ilu. So the Taz holds that when it says in Shas this lashon that equates when you have a ke'ilu lashon, the ke'ilu means mamish. Lekachi says hachinami. Therefore, the Marashak says that. Therefore, we could apply this machlokas between the Drish and the Taz there in Yerideya to the Shiloh over here. And he says, therefore, Lekach Hachinami, La Drisha came in the Enesh of a Mamish. Since the Drisha holds it when it says Kilo, it doesn't mean Mamish, it doesn't mean really. Lekach Nihida, I mean, the Havik Kilo, Yaldam, Mekomakam, Enelay, the Mamish. Therefore, according to the Drisha, when it says it's as if you gave birth, it doesn't mean Mamish giving birth. It's not considered a child that you should be Mekayim the Mitzvah with that child of Puravu of having children. However, according to the Taz, Shehu Shava Mamish, when Ke'ilu means it's Mamish, Oz Yoitze Bayidei Puravu. Then he says that perhaps according to the Taz, one would be Mekar in the midst of Puravu. He ends and he says the following, Mi, however, Af Lahadrisha Mikomakum Hevirak Im Lai Hoilid Klal. Even according to the Drisha, listen how he ends, it's so interesting. So we have a machlokas in the Drisha and the Taz. I mean, this is the way my Shach learns Pshat. The question of are you Mekayim the Mitzvah of Puravu with adopting a child, with taking care of a child. So the Drisha learns in general that when it says Kilo, it does not mean Mamish, and the Taz says Kilo means Mamish. So the Mashak wants to say that this is we would have the same machlokas over here by Kilo Yoldo. So the Drisha would say it's not your child in terms of being Mekayim the Mitzvah of Puravu, and the Taz would say it is your child. But then the Mashak ends and says, but even according to the Drisha, he says, Mekamukam Habirak Imlay Hoylud Klal, Avim Hoyludum Mesu. Even the Drisha, however, would say that that's only talking about if people who were childless, who never had any children. Avlam Hoyludum Mesu, but let's say these were people that had children, their own biological children, and God forbid the children died. The Gidl Yosem Yisayma, and then he brought a boy and a girl into the house, he adopted. Again, I'm using the word adopted very, very liberally, but it doesn't mean mamish the way now. But it means he took a yosem and a yisayma. He took into the house a boy and a girl, right, for Puravu. Vade says ki in Puravu. Mashak says that even the Drisha would agree that for sure is Puravu. In other words, he once had, these two people once had biological children, a boy and a girl, and they had the mitzvah of Puravu. Now, and the children died. So you know that Alpi Din, Alpi Alocha, the children have to go weiter. So what happened is that they didn't. They never died. So he says, but if they bring into the house these parents, Yosem and Yosema, they bring the orphans into the house. Vade kim puravu the yomon of shach. He says, well, either way, im be'in and leida, because if you need to give birth, if according to the Drisha says, if you would say that you have to mamish give birth, hari ha'olid mamish. Sof they did biologically give birth to children who passed away. Va'avdalai godlam, even though they weren't privileged to raise those children because they died, hari hegdil yosem yosema. He raised a yosem yosema. It's like they step into those shoes. He raised the Yosem Yisayim. It sounds like the Mashiach is making a certain jump. He's making a certain jump without explaining. He says the Dava Poshet to him. He says, Nehid Lehoilid, even though they didn't physically give birth, I'll call upon him Gidl. Because certainly, in other words, he says, it is a brilliant chab. But he's saying it like this. The term in Chazal for taking in orphans is Hamagadal Yosem Yisayim. Raising. So it's like this person was Mekayim the Mitzvah in two parts. He biologically gave birth to a boy and a girl, but he wasn't Megadol them because they died. So he's Megadol the Yosem Yisayimah. So the Mashak takes like a Dover Pasha that even the Drisha would agree that under those circumstances, since he was Megadol the Yosem Yisayimah, I call him Megadol Yosem Yisayimah Kili Yadol, he says that it could be considered. He says he holds that this is the din, this is the halach. That a person is makai and puravu by raising orphans in the home.
He's saying the kiyum of the mitzvah is really not the actual giving birth then.
No, he says that both parts.
I know parts, but if you don't have both parts, so then you have the godlo.
So then he says that's the mach. If you only adopted, that's the machlokas taz and the drisha. Yeah. So then the taz would say yes, you're mekayim puravu. I mean, That's the Mashak's opinion. Taz never talks about it.
I understand.
So the Taz would say yes, and the Drishu would say no. He's just adding on the Mashak that even according to the Drishu, who would say no, but if we're talking about children, that they had children, the children died, and then the Magadal goes, it's like continuing.
In two parts.
Right, then it's in two parts. It's a Chiddush. I mean, it's a...
He but isn't there the a sheet that if you Krovu and then the kids and after, you still get it, sir?
Yes, it's a machlokes.
Yeah.
It's a machlokes. It's Bishami, Bishil, it's a machlokes.
But they pass in the Jor Yotze.
No.
No?
No. No, you're not Yotze. No.
Because it was out of your hands.
Okay, that's the whole Shal Bechla by Purva. That's the Mechiz Chinuch. The whole question of Purva was a very unusual mitzvah because the whole mitzvah is not in your hands. You make your shtadlis and it's up to the Rebbein Shlom whether you have children or not, whether the children are going to live, they're not going to live. It's the Rebbein Shlom's business. So the whole thing is.
You get to every second as well, right?
Okay, that's right. That's the first mitzvah in Mechiz Chinuch discusses by Riches, this whole Indian, which we learned way back then. Yeah, you were going to say.
The Hirat song we say all the time, Ki ilu ki amtiyam b'chol. So there's an opinion that you're really being Mekayim. I mean, that's the
machlokas
there when you say.
Yeah, except that lashon of ki'ilu ki amti, that's not found in that context in Shas. That came later on, that nusach of the Hirotzen. So of the Elishem Yichud and the Hirotzen came a little bit later. But if we apply the same principle, maybe you could say that. Ki'ilu. Ki'ilu means, according to the Taz, means mamish. Means mamish.
I'm doing the luck here.
Means mamish. I always think that way. That means mamish. Like with the Hanukkah candles, we have the Yerotzim of Bnei Sascha. You like standing in the Beis HaMikdash. You're standing in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, it means mamish. I don't know of anybody who discusses this in such a clear way like the Mahashak. However, if you look in front of you, you have a tshuva from the Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer is one of the great posts that's in the wrong order. That means turn the page. The first page is the second page. Well, this is rather the second page is the first page, is it? Where it says "V'din imut yilodim." Okay, he did page 2 and then page 1.
He tried.
Yeah, he tried. Listen, I told him that he's still doing a better average here than he's getting on his test so far. He's doing better. This guy, he's a good kid. He's all right. He's a good kid. You know, in every class we have certain. They're like mitzvah boys. You know what I'm saying? He's not holding so strong in the learning. But he's a terrific mitzvah kid, so you have to keep him you have to keep him busy, and he can't sit and learn for more than a half hour, 40 minutes. So he goes with tzedakah, he goes with the push. You know, every year we have Mordechai Nellis. He wasn't one of those guys; he was a learner. But you have in the class, you always have someone that's like they're busy with pushkas and making announcements, and you know, like they tumult. If there's a
the AV squad.
Yeah, what is that? What is that? Oh, that's right. They take care of the machines and all these different things. So I keep
him. Ride me to a king.
It's not. Listen, it's. It's a gewaldige thing. It's a mitzvah, son, and he's a wonderful boy. But okay, at least he almost got it right. Good.
They're both here.
No.
Both sheets are here.
Yeah. All the sheets are here, just in a different order. That's okay. Very good. Okay, so the Tzitz Eliezer, I'm sure most of you have heard, but Blazer Waldenberg is one of the most famous. Poskim of our times. He's a Rav in Yerushalayim. He's an extremely elderly Rav, but he's still, thank God, alive. He is the greatest expert on medical shilas in the entire world. There's no one that even comes near him when it comes to medicine. He's a bucky in all areas of medicine. There are doctors who I've spoken to, who have been to him, who are experts in different areas of medicine, and when they've spoken to Rabbi Blazer Waldenberg, they walk out astounded that he is completely up-to-date and proficient in all areas of medicine. And he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and to date he's already written 23 Chalakim of Tshuvas Tzitz Eliezer, that are classic Tshuvas. This is from Chelek Dalet, Simon Chav Beis. The question of Imut Yilodim, a man who's very much attuned to what's going on in society. Now, if you see there, he was asked a shiloh by a certain doctor, as you see, Dr. Yitzchak Kister. He was asked this question. He's not a doctor, actually. He's a shofet. He's a judge. He's a judge in Tel Aviv. And he was asked about the question of adoption, and it also involves some shiloh here of government intervention, v'chul. So, if you look where I made a little asterisk on the side, where the Tzitz Eliezer begins to respond, where it says, "B'tshuvas maimonides al Rambam." B'shuvas Maimin is al Rambam. What he's going to be doing for us here is he's going to be explaining to us the background of a psak din that's found in the Ramah. There's a psak that's found in the Ramah in Choshen Mishpat regarding the question. Let me just tell you what it's about. I don't know if we're going to really have time to get into it tonight, but I can tell you what it's about. The question of someone who's raising a Yosem or Yosem in the house, who's raising a child, and there are documents that are drawn up for the child. The child needs documents, whatever those documents might be, for purchasing property. A shtar, of course, has to have, a document has to be completely accurate. And if there's something that's inaccurate in a shtar, the phone, this right on the table in the room, straight ahead. And if there's anything that's inaccurate in the shtar, then the shtar is a mezuyif, metoyich. It's a mezuyif. It's invalid. So the question with the Yosem, the Yosem, is that for all of his life, this orphan has been called up perhaps to the Torah, or is known as Shlomo ben Menachem Yitzchak, whatever. And really, he's not the biological child. And now, this name is being used in shtaros. It's being used in a shtar. Okay, listen, it's a very nice thing. You want to call him by his adopting father. It's beautiful. But now it's getting a little serious, because now we have a shtar, we have a legal document that has in it a name that's factually inaccurate. I mean, he's not the son of. It says, Moshe ben Shlomi Yitzchak, whatever. That's not his name, Lemaisa. His father's not Shlomi Yitzchak, whatever. He has a different father. So this is a question that was a psak din from the Ramah in Choshen Mishpat in Simon Membeis Sif Tezayin, where the Ramah paskins that in a shtar like that is not considered to be a mezuyev. It is not an invalid shtar. It's a valid shtar, even though the emes is that's not his father, but it's considered to be a valid shtar. And the Tzitz Eliezer is going to show us the background of the psak of the Ramah, the background of the psak, and then he himself brings many poskim and reaches conclusions that are not exactly identical to that we see in Shulchan Aruch. So he shows here, let's just read the first paragraph. B'tshuvas Maimonis al Rambam Seif Seifim Mishpatim Hu B'tshuvah B'shem Maram B'Raboruch Shenishol al Oides Ruvein V'Ishtoi. The Maram was asked a question regarding a certain man, Ruvain and his wife, Shekos Vushtar Leben Ishtoi, that they wrote a shtar, the Kosuboy, and it's written in the shtar, Utnu Levoneinu, to our son. Now this child is Ben Ishto. What does it mean, Ben Ishto? It means that from a previous marriage. This is where the Shiloh begins. He is not a biological son, but in effect he was raised by the second husband. This is from the first marriage, right? Now Reuven and his wife, they love the child. They raised it. It's her child, but it was her child with another man. But for all practical purposes, the child's been raised by Reuven, and he's been taking care of the child as his own. And in the shtar, it is written, Utnu Levineinu, to our son. It says in the Shtar Loshen, our son. Yeah. Im Lishna Ma'aliyahu. The question in the Maharam was, is this a Lishna Ma'aliyah? Is this an acceptable, valid Loshen to be used in a Shtar? Vaheshiv, and the Maharam says, Nira de Lishna Ma'aliyahu. The Maharam says, yes. It seems that it is an acceptable, valid Loshen. Shariha Magal Yosem Yisayma Ki'ilu Yaldo. He brings the Gemara. That if you raise a Yosem and a Yosema, ki'ilu yoldo. So as far as documents are concerned, which is a very serious matter, he's interpreting it quite literally, the way the Maharshak would learn Pshat in the Taz. He takes it very literally. Ki'ilu yoldo means enough that it should be able to be written in a shtar. V'islam kamer kainer, and there are a number of psukim where we can prove this from. Kevan de magal Yosem nikra b'no. Since when you raise an orphan, it's considered your child, as Gam Hayosim Roy Likros La'oluf Nurif, therefore he can call the savior of his youth, the one who is the hero of his youth, meaning, it's a nice way of saying this man, this wonderful person who has raised him all of these years, he can call him Avi, my father. U'le'isha Imi, and if it's the opposite case, if it's the mother was the one that came into the second marriage, then and he had a child, and she raised the child, then he can say, my mother, and it can be written on the shtar, my mother. Vein kant beis mechush, and there's nothing to be worried about, Maram says. There's nothing to be worried about.
It's still a specific case that it was a natural child.
There was such a child, yes.
No, but this makes it sound as if the child was a natural child of one of the parents.
Yes.
Not completely adopted.
Correct, right. The mother's the biological parent.
That's altered what the kid is called up to the Torah.
Yeah, the father, though, however, is not his father. Maybe it's different. When one of them is, maybe it's different. You're saying when one of them is a biological parent, maybe it's a different din.
Then it's completely
neither one is.
No, but that's why it's presented in this type of text.
Yeah.
No, but that's why it's presented as a ben ishta.
Yeah, but later on, it says it could be, or if it was the other way around.
Well, it's interesting you're raising this point because Lamaisa, we're going to see that it is considered the possibility is considered that ishto kegufo. And that one's wife is considered as oneself. So then in a case where there was a woman who came with a child into a second marriage, and the child is being raised by that man, since ishto kegufo, so perhaps we could say that, and we'll see that next time. Perhaps we could say that in fact that it is considered his own child. But let's just another sentence. I'll be tshuva zayis pasuk kerama, and this is the tshuva based upon which the Rama paskins and Chayshim Mishpat Membeis, the Misha Magad Yosem Bezer Beiso, but the Rama paskins clearly that if you raise an orphan in your home, the kosev lo b'shtar, and you wrote an ishtar in a document bini, you wrote bini, my son, or Hayosem kosev lo Magad lo Ovi, or a document where the orphan had made up, and it says my father, or imi, or my mother. Loi mikri mezuyif. It's not considered to be an invalid, false document. V'kosher, it's a kosher star. Hoyl v'gadluhu ro'ui lichtav kach. Since they raised him, he can be called our son, and he can call them my father and my mother. Now we're going to next time we're going to go much more deeply into this psak of the Ramah, and to understand on a deep level what it means.